This is fantastic. In fact, we'll also be sharing the presentation as well as some of the other background material and the test reports, because several of us would also be interested in dwelling into the details of what this is, because this is certainly stimulating. I would now go to colleagues here and then take up additional questions that we have on the chat.
Thank you so much, Neha, and thank you for presenting here. It's a very interesting topic. I'm from Food and Agriculture, Global Practice of World Bank, and I'm interested to know a little bit more about technology. So I was jumping, while you were presenting. I'm sorry for that intrusion, but I failed to understand your technology per se. So the principles of water management, the scale of problem is humongous, worldwide known, and we are struggling with that. The kind of outcomes that it will bring, the interconnectedness of nature, all known. We are all in the subject. As Mr. Reddy also said, we are looking for a scalable where community can benefit from this. Sir, I would like to know about your organization, your research and development capacity, little bit about more about this technology. I just heard that you said a technology. To my understanding, if technology doesn't have a continuum, and if we, how do we deeply understand the ecosystem and then, bring the pipeline of technologies and to solve the other challenges in the particular sector we are targeting? I feel that would be little bit, limiting in approach. Number two, when you said the resurrection part, and thanks that you clarified that it is not an invasive species, it's not an introduction of any microorganism or anything, which earlier, some Japanese people came and, we had EM solutions and all, being introduced there and all. So we are worried about that part. But there, what is exactly the process that you are bringing on the table? Is it that, say, in Manipur, we have to solve? Do you there isolate the microorganisms there and based on certain other, processes, then you provide an in situ localized solution? Or is it a factory-made solution which is, being introduced there? If it is a factory-made solution there, then again, noting the agroclimatic diversity, it will be an inclusion of a, another organization into that, territory, maybe, from there. And lastly, what I will just bring an insight from, your opening this thing was very powerful that, it's a natural resource cycle. And in during COVID, we realized that nature is is mighty. You leave the nature, it will find its own way of, providing its solution. So what we are again getting in a trap that while we are saying that it's a cycle, we are finding a treatment to the cycle, and then say that, be dependent always on the external treatment. So there I see a conflict in the natural cycle of, solution provisions and, bringing a commercial insight into that in a way that is diluting our own traditional knowledge about cow, cow dung, urine, and several botanicals, which we are very proud to possess since last 6,000 years of our history, and which has been part and parcel of our community. And in our sector in food and agriculture, we had community managed, sustainable agriculture practices, with which, we could bring in a scalable solution for plant protection and the dependency of communities on the chemical pesticides were largely reduced through that. And these were in a process that community has the access of those natural botanicals and resources, and they were, their capacity was built to, manage their own resources. So that is another approach to this. So these are two different approaches. Yes, I understand the commercial approach is also important from the urban side, from where, the other discussant also said that where we have less capacity or outreach, there we can go for this. But what is your thought process on the scalable part through a community-driven approach? Thank you. Sorry, I took a little more time.
Yes, absolutely. And then we have a few more before we wind up.
Sir, your first question was about the organization. So the organization started in 2021. So it is as short-lived as that. But the research started in 2011. So it has been almost a decade-long research. As Neha ma'am introduced us, we've been all from IT background. We were into communication network backbone. So we created the Army Service Communication Network. We created the National Internet Backbone. When we joined the IT industry, internet was a luxury, limited only to Delhi and Mumbai from VSNL, Videsh Sanchar Nigam Limited. So that was our bread and butter. That was our profession. And this entire journey started in 2011. And since then, we've been doing the research on this. So as far as Vedic Srijan as an organization or the inventor of the technology is concerned, it is a Government of India registered startup. We registered with Startup India, MSME, GEM portal, all sorts of registrations are there. We are registered with Startup in UP, and awards I've already explained. So that's a brief history of the organization, just about 2 years old. As far as your mechanism question is concerned, that what exactly is the mechanism? As I've already explained, we are not introducing any invasive species into the limnology. What we're doing is resurrection of the existing native microbiota, which has gone dormant. Now, why it has gone dormant is because of the consistent pollution that we are adding. Now, if you want to understand how did the pollution gets added into the water body, anything which is solid is a pollutant. Right. So water body in itself is supposed to have only water, whereas we have suspended solids, we have dissolved solids, we have settled solids, we have floating solids. So there are four different layers wherein we have solids, and all these solids which are coming into the water, just basic nature of water is that anything which has come into water sooner or later has to get decomposed. So when the decomposition demand is increasing, that is increasing the BOD and the COD, and the TDS and TSS is increasing because of the addition, right? Now, when the demand is going up, obviously the supply has to go down. So the dissolved oxygen is going down and BOD, COD is going up. Now, when this kind of a scenario happens, eventually the native microbiota, which is aerobic in nature, ceases to exist because there is no breathing space left for it and the DO is minimal or zero. Right. So what we do is we study the water body, we make a medicine. When we add this medicine to the water body gets supplied with tons and tons of free electrons. Now, these electrons, when are made available to, let's say, a phosphate molecule, which is waiting for the decomposition to happen, it is PO3 or PO4. Right. So electron exchange happens and this bond is broken. Phosphorus is separated, oxygen is separated. This happens within the water. That is why this gets added to dissolved oxygen, because this oxygen is within the water body. And the space which was actually occupied by a phosphate molecule is freed because it is decomposed, and the same space is occupied by oxygen. Now, this phosphorus, which is separated, is lying there into the water body. So this is one activity which is happening at a chemical layer. At a physical layer, what is happening is the space which was occupied by a solid has been replaced by a gas molecule, which means the viscosity has gone down. That is what you've seen into the Leher-Tara case study. Now, the third thing which happens is every electron has got a charge of 10 to the power minus 16 coulomb, which is good enough to give a CPR-like shock to the native microbiota, which has gone dormant. So they get a shock, they come back to life, they need oxygen to breathe. You already increased the DO level. Now they need something to eat. So a single atom of phosphorus is good enough for them to consume. So that is how, and they are in vegetative state. So cell division multiplexing is their propagation process. So one single atom will eat something, it will get divided into 2, 2 to 4, 4 to 8. That is how the population is increased. That is how the metabolic activities are increased. And that is how the decomposition is happening. So once you resurrect the native microbiota, which belongs to that particular limnology, they'll start performing their natural metabolic activity. And because of this activity, all these changes are happening. So that was the answer to your second question. Now coming into the third question, irony. You said on one hand, you're saying that nature is capable of everything, and on the other hand, you're doing an intervention, right? So it's like human body is self-healing. If you give me a cut, it will get healed naturally. But that doesn't mean I don't need any kind of medicine. I would need a medicine till the time I become healthy. But once I'm healthy, then what? I mean, do you prefer a patient carrying a ventilator in a briefcase and breathing through the ventilator? Or would you prefer a patient breathing from his nose and taking it into his lungs? Obviously, you'll prefer the second option, right? So that is exactly what we're doing. After the intervention, the water body is capable of consuming whatever the contamination is coming in. So this is a small time intervention, enabling the water bodies. And specific to India, what happens is you need a preventive maintenance every year. Why you need it? Because none of the urban water bodies in India can control the inflow during monsoon. We don't have that mechanism. So if I've calibrated it for 10 MLD and during monsoon you make it 100 MLD of input, obviously the system will collapse, right? So I'm only making the water body unable to consume the daily inlets. But during monsoon, this entire system gets collapsed because the inflow is gone out of control. And coming all to your question of sustainable agriculture, our approach is very different from what is being taught into the agri universities across the globe and across India. I'll cite one simple example which you would have seen, but you would not have taken notice of. If we talk about a wasteland where nothing grows, you will see after monsoon, there also the greenery is back. What has changed? Did anybody put any kind of a fertilizer into that, or any kind of hormones, or any kind of pesticide, insecticide, or anything? There was no change into the soil. When we are talking about agriculture, when we are talking about fertility, we are only talking about the soil fertility. We're not looking at the kind of water which we're using for irrigation. Our process is, and we have proven it, we have documented it, the case studies there on our YouTube channel. We have taken industrial wastewater, that too from a rice mill, where the water is so toxic that if you put it into a fertile land, it will go infertile there and then. We've collected this kind of a toxic water in a water body. Another waste that we got was the biogas plant slurry. These were the two problems for the nearby village from a rice mill, because the rice mill owner had the mill on one side of the road and a 32-acre farm on the other side of the road. The 32-acre farm also had a small dairy of about 35-odd cows, and they had installed a biogas plant unit for electricity supply and the cooking on the side of the farm. Now, the obvious discharge was the slurry. Right, we collected these two kind of wastage in the same area. We created a pond, we treated that water and transformed that water into neuroimmuno booster for plants and animals. When we spoke to the owner of the farm that, okay, now that your water is rejuvenated, why don't you use it? So he said, where can we use this wastewater? I know this is the rice mill wastewater. I can't use it anywhere. I said, okay, you offer it to the cows and you offer your source of water to the cows and let the cow decide what they drink. They gave the borewell water and this pond water. The cow did not take the borewell water and they started taking this pond water. So that is the amount of difference which we create. And after 6 months of usage, he was happy that my medication for the animals has gone down. My yield of the milk has gone up. Then we asked him to use the same water into the agriculture. They said, no, my land will go infertile. And after he started using it, he was astonished to see that his yield was better than the chemical waste farming. Using the same water, there was no fertilizer, no pesticide, no insecticide. It was all completely chemical free. And still he got a better yield from the first crop cycle itself. So that is what is a case study. It's there on our YouTube channel. I hope that answers your question.
Fine. Directly, it seems, because the answer was not direct to the approach. I wanted to understand if it is resurrection, then I understand it's a microbiological intervention. It's not a product intervention.
Right. So then the scalability will depend on how many such microbiology labs we have or human capacity we have to, solve it. So that was, anyway, we'll discuss later. Thank you.
Thank you for those very comprehensive answers, and I'm sure that stimulates more and more thoughts as we hear this. And we will get to some of the fundamental, issues in terms of replication, in terms of scalability, in terms of people's acceptance. Now, some of the questions that are in the chat, you have directly and indirectly already answered. So, colleagues, please allow me to skip those, but you will get a written response on those. The couple of points that have not been touched upon. One of them is, have you worked with medical wastewater? Does it work, and has it been tried out? Because dealing with wastewater coming out of health institutions across the country is also one big item. That's one question. Second is, there have been a lot of apprehensions. For example, one of our colleagues has asked, Deepa has asked, something similar was tried out in Methi. Of course, what got added into the water body, nobody knew at that point in time. And the Methi River in Mumbai. And there was a lot of skepticism around in the people about what is getting added. So how do you deal with these issues around perception? A few brief responses at this stage would suffice, and then we can always elaborate, because we also want to open up to the colleagues who are here one last round before we reconnect again.
Okay, as far as the question of medical wastewater is concerned, we have not done any project which is purely medical wastewater. But as far as the case study for drain and the case study for Leh Tara is concerned, both the places we had medical wastewater also coming into the water body. Now, there is one thing which is very, very important to understand. That was a research done in the University of California in year 2016, which was to find out the best way of disinfecting water, because they did a lot of research on multiple methodologies like your UV treatment, your ozonization, your filtration through 0.25 microns, and chlorination. So all four methods were proven to be having some or the other negative aspect, provided the quality of the water is changed. So if the water is having fluoride, there was a different impact. If there was water having arsenic, there was a different impact. So everything was having some or the other limitation. But then it was basically a research funded by, I guess, the food industry, because they wanted to understand what is the best way and the fastest way of disinfecting the water. And after this research paper got published, University of California actually explained that the best water treatment in terms of disinfection technique is to make the water go ORP negative with a negativity value of over 600. That is the point wherein all the coliform or the pathogens or the fecal coliform, everything ceases to exist in ORP negative value of above 600, whether it is Salmonella or whether it is Streptococci. So this is the kind of water that we are talking about from the medical wastewater, the basically bacterial infection that comes from a diseased patient. Now, all this will cease to exist if you can make the water body go negatively charged, or the ORP negative value of 600 and above. And the best part is, after our treatment, the entire water body goes ORP negative. So I think that answers your question as far as the medical wastewater is concerned. The second question about the Methi case study, let me just explain. Into Methi, there have been a lot of stuff done, all sorts of experiment, everything is done. From IT Powai to IIM Kolkata and all sorts of people have tried their hands. But what they failed to do is just adhere to the Chitale Committee report, which was done immediately after the flooded Mumbai in 2005. And this report simply said that all you need is resurrection of the native ecology. So if they would have actually followed the Chitale Committee report, they would not have faced any kind of problem. As far as making people on your side is concerned, that is a public awareness campaign which is required, whether it is BMC or whether it is any sort of government or authority. So that would definitely be required. Whether you're doing my treatment or you're doing bioremediation, phytoremediation, even for STP plant, you need to convince people that it is for you. And in my case, by the time you convince people, they're already convinced, because 15, 20 days is good enough a time to arrange for a public meeting. And by then, the foul smell is already gone, right? So people are on your side without your preaching. You know, it is the treatment that talks about its own self. It is the treatment which is doing the marketing on its own. You know, we were doing one of the project in Chhattisgarh in Rajnandgaon. There our team, which was doing the execution, they got much better respect than the local MLA, because every person who was staying next to the water body actually got a real estate appreciation of more than 10 lakhs just because the foul smell was gone. You know,
thank
I think
you
that
so-
answers your question.
Yeah, thank you so much, Madhukar. Your excellent presentation and all of these comprehensive responses have definitely taken away the embarrassment that we had started off with because of the glitch in IT. We can clearly see that the people are interested in this, and I'm sure you and Ashish will be kind enough to, you know, reconnect on this topic. We will allow for a little more interaction for those of us who haven't had a chance to talk to you. People who have been working on fisheries, aquaculture, urban bodies, DRM, I'm sure it's very, very relevant to the work. But I definitely want to make sure that the 15, 16 minutes that we had lost earlier have more than been covered up. We've added half an hour to this discussion. We would like to free up colleagues who are connected online, because I know that you have a lot of other commitments at this time of the year. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Dr. Reddy. Thank you, Christoph. Maninder just had to leave because he had another commitment, but he leaves behind some very positive compliments, which, of course, I'll share with everyone. Thank you, colleagues. Anu and several others who have connected, Shankar from all over the world. Thanks a lot for your interest. And we'll definitely reconnect, because all that we are trying to do is not just talk about issues and problems, but also look at solutions that we can bring to the table. So I think this is the most important part of the work we do. And you have come to the right people, Madhukar and Ashish, because what we would do in terms of taking this forward, with your permission, Christoph, would be to take a little deeper look into the sites that you have done. All of us travel quite a bit, and all these locations that you shared are very much on our radar. We can go and look at it, its sustainability, also take a feedback from the proponents of this. At some point in time, arrange an exposure for our clients, something similar that you've done today with a larger group of our clients, so that they can have their questions answered. And then we look forward to taking up certain pilots under these different programs that the bank is supporting. Thank you very much, colleagues. And thank you to our excellent presenters. Thank you, Chair, who has now just left the meeting, and to Christoph for, you know, extending his stay on this presentation. Thank you, everyone.
Firstly, is your technology treating both biological as well as chemical, or is it restricted to biological impurities or contamination? Secondly, the input of the untreated sewage is continuous into the water body. So I'm taking an example of a lake, for example. So do we keep adding this, or do you also come up with a second phase phytoremediation approaches by doing some, let's say, vegetational plantations, you know, in some cases, maybe hydrilla, in some cases, something else, Wellesley area or others. And third is, do you have any approximate per unit hectare of wetland treatment cost or something like that? I know it is very site specific and But just to give you an idea of, or any of these examples, how much would be the cost for treatment? Thanks.
First is your question about bio or chemical. Are we able to treat one or two or both? Right. So we have got no problems whether it is a biological contamination or chemical contamination. Right. So anything that comes into the water, as long as it is water, there is no problem. We just because we have not done a documentation of it, we cannot claim it, but we have treated even the leachate. We have treated even the contaminated water in an open cast mine. But obviously we cannot claim because we don't have the documentation. So as far as the quality of effluent or sewage is concerned, we are not bothered. We can treat both of them. As far as your second question of in situ or the input or the inlets is concerned, we are having no problems if it continues. As I said, we are transforming the liability into asset. That is the biggest liability. But only thing that we need is a gradient filter so that no solids come in. So that's the only requirement. As far as the cost is concerned, I think Ashish will be the right person to answer that.
No, as you've identified, we probably need to know exactly which location you're talking about for us to... That was a CSR project. So
that was a CSR project. And
Patiala was done 1 kilometer stretch. Since that was a study project, we gave them a fair amount of discount. And it was done at a cost of 10 lakh rupees for 2 months. But this was inclusive of all of the arrangements at the site, preparation of the medicine, daily dosing. And in the initial, I think, couple of weeks, we had to do dosing twice just to accelerate the restoration process or see faster results. 1 kilometer stretch for 2 months. Sir, as Madhukar has stated very clearly, we are purely rejuvenating the native ecology. So no bacterial material is either employed in the solution or in during the treatment phase. The beauty of, let's say, working with nature or understanding nature is that, of course, there's a self-healing mechanism. Our treatment focuses at increasing the metabolic activities within the water body, thereby increasing the ability to consume the daily waste that is being added to water bodies. So that is the underlying philosophy.
Like in case of Patiala, which you mentioned, it was like 50% was treated wastewater and around 50% untreated, which was coming from the...
Yes.
So now you spend around 2 months bringing in that change. So what is the frequency that you will require? Because it's waste is continuously coming.
Yes.
After that option.
Yes.
Do you require that 2 months treatment after 6 months or every 1 year? Or how does it work?
No. So allow me to shed some light on that. That was a 2 month study project for us to also be able to understand what are the changes occurring in the three layers of water, air quality, and sludge quality. After 2 months, the project was stopped because the team had conducted their independent samples and they had done the studies. They were supposed to come back to us with the reports. One of the, since I'm the one who actually executed that project, I used to daily travel to Patiala, interact with the locals. Exactly what Madhukar said. The locals start receiving you as though you're family because you are helping alleviate a problem for which probably the organizations or the administration has stopped hearing them, right? But then out of the blue, when you come, when you show up and you offer them a solution that is able to bring them relief because they're able to breathe in good, fresh, clean, healthy air for the first time sitting right next to their house or being able to sit outside their household because the population of mosquitoes has drastically reduced. So for them, that is a saving grace. Now in Patiala, the data which we accumulated, of course, will be sharing with you. That is something which if we plan it much better, It can be done, it should be ideally done for a 1 year period of time, within which we can see much better results and much more sustainable or longer lasting results.
Sorry, I think please. The question was that you have a study or whatever with limitation or with some constraint, you have worked on that place for 2 months.
Yes.
How long will the impacts or influence of your 2 months work linger? Do you need to come back after 6 months, 1 year? Because the inflow is not... The question basically is that what he referred to earlier is that once you make the body healthy, will the body be able to resist disease or manage the disease or manage the pollution by the healthiness of the body for infinity or for some time? So what is the dosage required? What is the repetition of the dosage required? For this example of Patiala, where you have done a 2 months limited constant work, but even if you do 1 year work, does it mean that the water body has become perfectly healthy and self-healing thereafter?
Sir, I think for your question, Patiala was a wrong example because the treatment itself did not get completed. But if you look at the Varanasi case study, Leher Tara, right? We left it in November last year. Until date, it is absolutely fine. All that sewage which was coming in is still coming in, untreated. And we have just calibrated the digestion capacity to suit the fresh inlet of 10 MLD, right? It will go on like this till the next monsoon, because monsoon, you cannot control the inflow. So once we have treated a water body for a particular input capacity, as I said, there are three phases: resurrection, restoration, rejuvenation. In rejuvenation, we're calibrating the digestion capacity to suit the regular measured inlet, right? So as long as inflow remains the same, or if there is 10% plus minus, doesn't matter. It will be sustaining its own self. But the moment you make it multiplied by 10, then anything and everything can collapse.